Is China ready to offer stocks to the public? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. China has lifted a one-year ban on new stock listings, and a handful of companies are preparing to sell new stocks as early as today. The market for initial public offerings was frozen by the government in 2012 as it pushed to bring rigor and heft to a trading system seen as too risky. But as Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports, there's still much work to do to bring a sense of confidence for investors in China's stock market.
It's the first trading of the new year at Shenyin Wanguo Stock Brokerage House in Shanghai. A gray-haired man everyone calls Old Chen watches stock prices along the floor-to-ceiling trading board. On the Shanghai Stock Exchange, red numbers are good. Green numbers mean share prices are falling.
Look at the board. It's the first day of the year, and it's all green. This is a casino, a Communist Party casino. We can't possibly win against them. I gotta stop coming here.
This is not the response from investors China's government was hoping for when they reopened the market to new listings. Securities analyst Chen Qimin says China will have to do a lot more to restore investor confidence.
The rate of return investing in stocks in China is lower than the bank deposit rates. Insider trading also continues to be a big problem.
Back on the trading floor, trader Jin Demin says investing in stocks in China is hopeless in a country where the markets are controlled by the state. Jin says when U.S. stocks go up, China's drop. When U.S. stocks drop, China's drop further. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
It costs money to cover the news, and if you get some of your news online, you have experienced bouncing off what they call a paywall. You try to open an article, but you can't till you subscribe. In this new year, you could hit a paywall when it comes to watching local TV news. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
So maybe your local TV station's website isn't your go-to site. WCPO-TV is hoping to change that in Cincinnati. It's added 30 digital staffers and will offer exclusive investigative stories behind the paywall. Ken Doctor is a media consultant.
And what they're saying is, don't think of us as TV. Think of us as your best local digital news source.
The way WCPO-TV sees it, it's go digital and dominate or die. Adam Simpson is chief digital officer for EW Scripps, which owns the station. He says Cincinnati's many TV and radio stations won't all survive. Simpson is hoping a beefed-up web presence will ensure market dominance.
This is not just an investment in growing a digital audience. This is an investment in the brand WCPO, the television ratings, and the digital audience.
The question is, will people pay for something they're used to getting for free? Other TV stations are watching WCPO's web experiment closely to find out. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The self-styled Syrian Electronic Army is claiming responsibility for hacking the Twitter account of the Skype video chat service. The hackers put up warnings about U.S. government surveillance of Skype, owned by Microsoft. The hackers support Syrian President Assad in his fight with Syrian rebels. And TechCrunch is reporting that the photo-sharing site Snapchat has been infiltrated by unknown hackers who have publicly exposed millions of usernames and phone numbers. Want to see Marketplace live? You can enter to win a chance to join us at the Norse Theater in San Francisco on January 28th as we discuss the new era of philanthropy. Details and rules at marketplace.org/trip. The S&P 500 went up 29% in the year gone by. The NASDAQ Composite rose nearly 40%. But this has prompted an argument that stock prices in 2013 were a bit like cotton candy, lots of size but not a lot of substance. Marketplace's economics guy Chris Farrell has been considering this. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Now, you've been hearing that the stock market gains that we've just come through in 2013 are somehow not real. I mean, we know that gains can suddenly evaporate. It's the stock market after all. But the critique you're hearing goes beyond that in some way.
Oh, yes. And this is a criticism that I've been getting over the phone calls. Some friends call me and then I've been watching cable TV. And here's the theme is that these stock market gains reflect nothing but quantitative easing by the Federal Reserve, and investors are enjoying some kind of sugar high. And the assumption is when the Federal Reserve starts its tapering for real, we're going to have a crash.
Now, if you accept just that idea that the stock market gains are largely due to the Fed's easy money policy, the way that would work is it trickles into corporate profits, all this easy money. So then it's hard to get to this idea that it's all just empty calories. We're talking about profits.
You know, the stock market has been doing well because corporate cash flow has been strong. And that's what's driving prices higher. And you look at a company like Ecolab. They're into sanitation and water. And they've been doing really well. And, you know, the basics of their business have been doing well. You look at IBM. Revenue's down 6 quarters in a row. IBM stock price is not doing that well. To me, what that says is what drives this market is the fundamentals of corporate America.
One Wharton professor who predicted what the stock market would do in 2013 with some degree of success is thinking that 2014 is going to be decent. He's talking about the Dow at 18,000 in 2014 sometime. It's at 16,500 now or so. How sustainable do you think some of this is?
Well, you know, investors have been anticipating a stronger U.S. economy. They're getting some confirmation. So, yeah, I think, you know, we're going to 2014 with a healthier economy. Corporate profits, the expectation is that they're going to be down. So I expect an okay stock market until something comes along that changes the calculation.
Marketplace's elegant exponent of economics, Chris Farrell. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
And the CBC's reporting that Canadian Tire hired ice sculptors to make a full-size working pickup truck body out of ice, and mounted on a 2005 Chevy Silverado chassis. They then drove the 11,000 pounds of ice truck about a mile for both the TV commercial and a bid for the Guinness Book of Records. Anyone who ever tried to get the heater to work on an old VW Beetle will know the feeling. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.